2,000 years ago in the Middle East, an event occurred that permanently changed the world. And because of that event, history was split. Every time you write down a date, you're using the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a focal point. Now, what's so very important about Easter? It's important because Easter proved that Jesus indeed was who he claimed to be. He is God in the flesh, and he came to earth to save us. Now, I think the concept of royalty, kingship, queenship has always fascinated us, the idea that one person can hold such complete power. Martha and I have enjoyed watching season one of The Crown. It's a Netflix miniseries about the life of Queen Elizabeth II. It's really fascinating. And it's received worldwide acclaim. And then, of course, there's Will and Kate, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. And they are, you know, regarded as two of the most influential people in the world because people are fascinated by the crown. They're fascinated by royalty. Michael Jackson was called the king of pop. Elvis Presley was called the king of rock and roll. But he was wise enough that one time someone called him the king to his face. And he said, "There is really only one king," said Elvis, "and that is Jesus Christ." I want us to very quickly think about King Jesus this morning on this Easter Sunday. And let's talk about a couple of crowns that he wore for your benefit and mine. The first one has to do with a crown of thorns. And we read about this in John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. That's beaten halfway to death. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Can't you just see that happening? Little half-purple garment, slapping him, spitting on him, and wearing a crown of thorns. This idea of Jesus being mocked, this idea of Jesus being jeered at, this idea of Jesus being shamed and humiliated. Everybody in this room knows what it's like to be embarrassed, but have you ever been intentionally humiliated? He was mocked because of his outrageous claims that he indeed is king and came to be savior of the world. Once more, verse 4, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." And as soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him, you crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." Jesus actually went through six different trials. They could find no fault in him. But after a night of beatings and mockings, he was turned over to be crucified. And crucifixion is an incredibly tortuous event. Why did Jesus die? Because Jesus alone is sufficient, and only Jesus is able to pay for your sins and mine. He didn't just die for us like someone might nobly give their life. He died a particular kind of death for you and me. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. No one else could do that. And yes, he did it to glorify God, but he could have stayed in heaven and glorified his Father. But he came to earth because he loves you and he loves me. And the Bible says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5. "For God made Christ," get this, "who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." On our report card, the good news is Jesus didn't just erase the D's and F's, but in place of the D's and F's, we get straight A's. He lived the perfect life. We get credit for it. As Martin Luther so famously said, "By a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer our sins, but they're Christ's. And the righteousness of Christ, it's not his, it's ours. He got our sins, and we got his righteousness." We don't just stand before God forgiven, we stand before God as if we lived the perfect life that he did. That's how God treats us. Listen, my friends, salvation can be ours, not because we're so good, but because our great God and King is so good. And so after Jesus was crucified, they brought down his body. They put him in a tomb. They put a giant stone in front of that tomb. And there early on that Easter Sunday morning, I don't know how it happened. Did a finger move first? Did a knee twitch? Did an eye open? But an event happened in that tomb that has forever changed the course of human history. Jesus was raised to life again. And the stone got rolled away. Now, listen, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away so that the eyewitnesses could see in. He's not there. Like the angel said, he's not here. He is risen. Now, what's striking to me from the historical record of the resurrection is the lack of counter evidence. Nothing the Roman officials, nothing the Jewish officials wanted to do more than to discredit the story of the resurrection. And that's easy enough. Just produce the body. Hey, knock it off with all this resurrection talk. Here's Jesus. He's dead. Knock it off. But they couldn't produce the dead body of Jesus because he's been raised to life and he appeared to over 500 people. Now, he lived, he died, he rose again, he's still changing the world. He can change your world. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the mocker said, "If you're really the Son of God, come down from there." But he had something much more spectacular in mind. He was going to stay there until he could say, "It is finished." And then 3 days later, he would rise again by the great power of God. Now, I want you to see another scene where Jesus wears not a crown of thorns. He wore that crown for you and me, but I want you to see another crown from Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Now, what you're about to see here is the Apostle John giving us a picture of the victory parade of Christ, because he says there is coming a day when all opposition to God will cease. Right now, people can blaspheme Jesus. Right now, people can mock him. Right now, people can oppose him. But there is coming a day when all opposition to Jesus Christ will cease. Because here's the image of who he actually is. I saw heaven open. There's a white horse, not a donkey, a white horse of victory and power. And the rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice he judges and wages war, and his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. What's a crown? It's a symbol of power and authority. But Jesus wears many crowns. All power, all authority are his. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he'll rule them with an iron scepter. And he treads the winepress of the fury, the wrath of God Almighty. In other words, there is coming a day he sets everything right. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. You ready? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the ultimate and final king. He's not just a king. He's the king to whom all other kings are subject. My friends, you need a king. Everybody's going to worship somebody, something. Make Jesus Christ your king. Treat him as a king. Do whatever he says, whether you like it or not. Honor him as a king. Accept whatever he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not. Rely on Jesus as your king. Get your self-worth, not just from your career, but from how you stand before King Jesus. And what that means is, all of us in the room today, I'm asking you on this Easter Sunday to willingly intentionally, without reservation, without embarrassment, to dethrone yourself and put Christ on the throne of your life. Exalt him as king. Because in our Western culture, what we like to do is compartmentalize things. And I'll have my little Jesus compartment over here, but I don't really want Jesus compartment to bleed over into, you know, how I spend money, my ethics, my speech, my, you know how that goes. But Jesus paid it all. And he wants to be Lord of all. And it's a good thing. It'll be one of the happiest days, one of the best decisions of your life when you decide, I want Jesus to be king over all. Now, back in 1971, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were going to have a heavyweight title bout. And before that prize fight, Muhammad Ali was interviewed by Life magazine. And this is what he had to say. He said, there seems to be some confusion, and we're going to clear this confusion up. We're going to decide once and for all who is king. But there's not a man alive who can whip me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I am the king. And then I love this next line. He said, I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I could get licked. By the way, Muhammad Ali lost that fight. But a lot of people operate that way. I'm the king, I'm in charge, and with gritted teeth, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. And your king then is the image of independence. But there is a true king. And he is good, and he is gracious, and he loves you so very, very much, and he wants only what is good and beautiful and right for you. And the first time Jesus came, he came as a baby. Next time he comes, he'll come as a ruler. The first time when he came and he was born, glory was wrapped in flesh. Next time his glory will fill the universe. The first time he came, God said, you call his name Jesus. But the next time he comes, he'll be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he came, not everyone saw him. But the next time he comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I hope that you will do today what they're already doing in heaven. They're taking their own crowns and they're saying, there's only one who's worthy of any crown. Revelation chapter 4, they lay their crowns before the throne and they simply say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And so on this Easter Sunday, in view of the cross, in view of the empty tomb, I'm calling you today to four decisions. I'm going to just touch on them briefly, but they're very important. Here's the first one. Love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Because he first loved you, and he went all the way to the cross and beyond for you and me to bring us to God. And so love him. Because in a sense, he's still on trial. He's still on trial in the heart of every person who's yet to name him as Lord and Savior. And just like Pilate had a decision to make, you have a decision to make regarding Jesus Christ. And odds are there's somebody in this room today who's saying, well, Ronnie, I'm just not sure that I could be a Christian because there are parts of the Bible that I find offensive. There are parts of the Bible I don't get and I really don't agree with. And it probably has to do maybe with sex or money or something like that. And so let me ask you a question. Are you saying then that because there are parts of the Bible that you don't like, that means Jesus Christ could not have been raised from the dead? Is that what you're saying? Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. Well, you see, every part of the Bible I believe is important. But for a moment, just take those parts that you don't like and just set them aside. Now, if Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he indeed is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you're going to have to deal with some things that you may not like or agree with. But if he's not been raised from the dead, then don't you vex yourself one more minute about those things you don't like or don't agree with. But he has been raised, and he is king. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, hate sin. Just hate it, because it's what took Jesus to the cross. And it's no laughing matter. I realize our entertainment world and our media wants you to just laugh at it, but it's ugly. Someone has well said that sin at first fascinates and then it assassinates. It just kills. It kills potential. It kills relationships. It kills self-worth. It kills your sense of identity. It kills your closeness to others. It kills our closeness to God. And at its essence, here's what sin is. Sin is a blockage. It's an obstruction. It's a roadblock to the kind of life God wants you to have. He wants you to have a life that's full of righteousness and peace and joy. Sin blockades that and obstructs that and corrupts that possibility. Now, am I saying that we can completely tame the downward pull of sin in our life? Of course not. Not in this world we can't. But here's what we can do. You ready? The Bible says we can fight. We can fight. We can wrestle. We cannot just give in to every negative, sinful impulse. We can fight the good fight of faith. We can keep wrestling. The Holy Spirit will help us. The church will encourage us. And you know what? And we'll have some victories along the way. We'll see some growth along the way. We'll see some development. And so on this Easter Sunday, love Jesus. Fight sin. A third decision, influence others. Because the message of Jesus is too wonderful to stay hidden. So on a ball field, in your office, in the classroom, just remember, Jesus died for your mom and dad. Jesus went to the cross for your brothers and sisters. Jesus went to the cross for the people that you work with, for everyone in your circle. And so we want to influence others, tell, invite, pray for, let your influence for Christ show. And then here's the fourth decision. Just know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's too broken for God. And by all means, you're not too broken for God. You're not. You are not too broken for God. He came for people like you and me to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, and to send us in a new and growing and different direction. And my friends, here's what you can know. Even when you find yourself in a broken world situation where things around you, your circumstances are crazy and they're broken. Even when you find yourself in a season where you might feel abandoned, here's what you can know. It is just that. It is a season. It is a stage. And those broken circumstances do not have the final word, and those broken circumstances are not eternal. On this stage today, we're surrounded by the colors of victory. These are beautiful, regal colors, royal colors, victory colors. That cross is draped in victory colors. Why? Because the cross wasn't the last word. God takes crucifixions, turns them into a resurrection. And even those broken world circumstances, I can know, you know what? This is a stage. This is a season. What gets the last word in the life of a believer is victory. It's hope. It's heaven. It's a resurrection. It's the lordship and the eternal reign of our great God and King, who is for us. The question is not, is Jesus king? He is. The question is he your king? All right, now, if you need to take a step towards Jesus Christ or back towards him, here's what you do. This is complex. You ready to listen to this? You start right where you are. Start where you are. Not where you wish you were. Not where you think you ought to be. You take the real you and you take a step towards the real Jesus, and you start right where you are. For example, you might say, well, you know, this is my first time going to church since I was a kid. I don't know that I've ever read the Bible. I don't know. It's okay. You start where you are. Just come back to church next Sunday. It's all right. We all start somewhere. Or it might be, you know, Ronnie, there was a time I was really involved. I was really engaged. I don't know that I've prayed in 3 years. That's okay. Just put an X right where you are. That's where you are. And start where you are, back in the direction of God. Let me tell you, don't make this too complex. When the Bible says you want to know how to be saved, it uses simple terminology. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He has been raised from the dead. And if you have that faith, you want to quickly act on that. You want to step towards baptism, and we can help. You know, I mentioned a communication card earlier in the service, and I'm going to ask that if you've not done so yet, that you'll fill out the communication card that's in your order of worship, and you might want to check the box that says, I'd like to learn more about Jesus, so I'm ready to take my next step of baptism, or I'd like to speak to a church leader. And we'll receive these cards in a moment, and if you take the initiative to turn a card in, then we will certainly be faithful and respond to you with, and it'll be our joy to do so.